Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Territory. Learn how to get involved at CITR.ca.
And that right there, that was Rook's Feather with Actress off of the album Foss 4, kicking off another wonderful edition of Intersections. You're tuned into CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam Territory in Vancouver at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. My name is Mel Woods. I am the Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator here at CITR, and I'm going to hang out with you for the next hour or so today for Intersections. This is the radio program produced and created and hosted and all that fun stuff by CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Normally, I'm joined in the booth by a few collective members. It's just me flying solo today, but do not worry, we have a great show planned for you. You heard that track at the top of the hour. Every week, a different collective member is going to be curating our playlist we play between segments. This week, collective member Sinclair did. So shout out to Sinclair's music choices. You'll be hearing more of those throughout a few great segments we've got planned for all of you out there in Radioland. First up, we will be hearing soon from my interview I did with Celine Chuang at the Downtown Eastside Women's Center this past weekend. I got to do a cool tour with her and all of that. We'll be talking about that in a little bit more. We'll also talk about some cool Halloween events and goings on in the Vancouver intersectional feminist community that you can go and get involved with. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. You're excited. Let's have a grand old time. But yeah, let's ease it in with a little bit more music before we jump into our Downtown Eastside Women's Center stuff. Next up, we're going to hear from Girls Rituals and Lauren Bosefield. The track is Used to Be Better. So enjoy that one and keep it locked here on CITR.
That's duality. There's tons of old swaying pendulums. Down in hell, it's mechanical. Down in here, it's the Pentagon.
Great track there. That was Used to Be Better by Girls Rituals and Lauren Bosefield. Lauren Bosefield out of Los Angeles, California. That track released over the summer, so a fresh one for your Thursday afternoon. And yeah, you're tuned into Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Mel Woods, this year's Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator here at CITR. And every week we bring you 1 hour of amazing intersectional feminist current affairs programming here on CITR, focused on all of the grad stuff the folks of all identities are up to here in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. And speaking of rad stuff, this weekend, I had the chance to head on down to the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, along with one of our volunteers, Sinclair, to go and chat with Celine Chuang about their upcoming fundraiser. But it was actually really cool, because when we showed up, Celine was like, hey, let me just give you a whole tour of the center, which was really amazing. So you got to see all of their resources that they have available there in the Downtown East Side. They're just a block off of East Hastings Street, right up near Chinatown there. And it's this center that is meant to be a women's only space. And it has over 500 women who use it regularly. And the goal of it, according to their mission statement, is to provide a safe, non-judgmental environment for women of all walks of life who live and work in the Downtown East Side. They provide comfortable, safe drop-in centers, self-help programs, meals, counseling, advocacy, and they provide advocacy for everybody from Chinese seniors all the way down to trans women sex workers and everywhere, anybody who wants to be able to utilize the center. So it was really cool to be able to see their clothing donation room, their food donation room, their menstrual products donations, their kitchen that they operate, the showers, the bathrooms. It was a really cool tour. And I also had the chance to sit down and chat with Celine about their upcoming fundraiser and about some of the initiatives that the center is putting on. So we're going to hear that little interview right here, and I'll be back with you soon here on Intersections.
If we can start, maybe if you could introduce yourself and your position here.
Sure. So my name's Celine Chuang, and I'm the Fundraising and Communications Coordinator at the Downton Youth and Women's Center. So that kind of covers a lot of things, but mostly I do anything related to donations, that when people want to support or donate to the center, as well as fundraising events, whether that's ours or someone else's. And then communications covers the social media website and any kind of other way of communicating who we are to the outside world.
Fantastic. And for folks who don't know, what is the Downton Eastside Women's Center?
So the Downton Eastside Women's Center is an organization in the Downton Eastside, one of the only women's organizations in the area. And we operate a low-barrier drop-in center open during the day, as well as a night shelter open during the night. Although we are very excitedly moving towards being 24 hours, which is definitely worth celebrating. So at the center we provide basic needs and services, so such as toiletries, shower and toilet access, computer and phone access, hot meals, and kind of a safe woman-only space, as well as support services, so advocates, housing workers, an HIV case manager, a Chinese seniors outreach worker, among other things. And all our programs and services kind of grew out of the demands of women in the area.
Fantastic. And so what funds and supports the Downton Eastside Women's Center?
I don't know all the exact numbers of logistics on this, because I'm half of the fundraising team and the other half is not here right now. But we kind of get funding from a variety of sources. So we get government grants, we get non-government grants, we have individual donors, corporate donors, other community groups that donate to us, and then we have, I guess, other events that are run by kind of various configurations of those things, and then they also raise money for us. I think that's mostly it. We also have our financial statements, though, up on our... There's a link on our website to our financials, so there might be a little bit more information there if you're curious.
Cool. And so, yeah, speaking of those fundraising events and whatnot, there's a big one coming up on, is it November 2nd, I want to say? The Herstory in Focus?
Yep, November 2nd.
Yeah, so if you could maybe speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So Herstory is our second annual event. We were kind of hesitant as an organization, I think, to put on a fundraising event just because, I guess with other large organizations, there tends to be a bit of a gap and distance between the demographic that, they might serve and the donors or the people that are interested in supporting. And so I guess part of the hesitation with, I'm going to refer to us as Duke, that's just the acronym, so DEWC. So part of the hesitation on Duke's part was that we want to stand for empowerment and dignity for women, and we don't want to be kind of dictating their stories without respecting them. And so fundraising is kind of a tricky area in that respect. But what happened was that this event was, the venue was donated to us, we could use it without paying rent, and the Vancouver Art Gallery very generously offered that. And so Women of the Center, and I think some of the staff members as well, put forth the idea of a fashion show. And so this kind of a fashion show would be able to showcase the women's expression and their personality, and they could be seen in their power, rather than kind of separating who we are from the actual women who, you know, are members of our organization and very much make up the identity of Duke. So Herstory is going to comprise of a fashion show performed by the Women of the Center, as well as there'll be a silent auction, some speakers, and welcome drumming by the Wildflower Women of Turtle Island, which is a drumming group run by BWSS.
And what does that stand for?
Battered Women Support Services. So they're kind of a sister organization of ours.
Cool. And so, how much are tickets for this fundraiser? How can people participate or get involved with it?
So tickets are $50. And we did that this year just because last year tickets were complimentary, and because the motivation for the event is mainly a fundraising event, we just wanted to have that kind of clear from the beginning. And it is an event that is catered more towards donors and major donors. But apart from the event, there are also many other ways that someone can support the work of the center and be involved as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're at CITR, we're a campus and community radio station, so a large part of our listenership are students, and students are not always, you know, huge big ticket financial donors to organizations. But how can they get involved in the center through volunteering or donations or things like that?
So we would still obviously highly value any kind of support, and that doesn't just mean being able to donate. So students are, I think, really crucial in terms of spreading awareness about the organization, because as we're kind of moving into a period where we're doing more communication work and work on social media, then to be able to just share what's going on that people can participate in, that's already a huge asset. So just sharing, for example, events that we're running, or sharing things that we need, like toiletries, or sometimes we're really low on a really specific item. So something like that could be really useful. And yeah, so I think spreading awareness about the needs of an organization like ours, and about, more generally, women of the Downton East Side, is also really important.
And do you have any specific needs right now that we can spread the awareness of?
I think right now we don't have anything, like specific. We just got, as you saw upstairs earlier, a lot of clothing donations, so I think we're okay for that. But we always take kind of the basic items like toiletries, so and those, because they run out, so we use them every day and they run out very fast, then we always accept them. So anything like travel-sized shampoo or conditioner or soap or razors or even makeup, perfume, anything that, like that, we don't generally don't purchase those. We rely on community donations and support. So running a donation drive, for example, would be really great, especially around this time when we're coming up to the holiday season. Yeah, those are kind of the major things at this moment. But we also try to update our website and social media with kind of high item or high priority needs.
Cool. And so, kind of turning the corner a little bit, earlier we were talking about some of the center's intersectional approaches. And here at the Gender Empowerment Collective, we're focused on this kind of idea of intersectional feminism. And so where do you see the work of the center interacting with, you know, race and gender and identity in all these different dimensions outside of simply just womanhood?
I think a big part of that is the history of the center. So a lot of the organization, or I guess more generally, the organization grew out of kind of the grassroots advocacy work of a lot of Indigenous women, particularly. And so these women who are kind of community matriarchs and very involved with the missing and murdered Indigenous women, work around them and bringing attention on various levels, whether community levels or policy, societal levels. They have been kind of working in this area for more than 20 years, probably. And so their presence is really like pillars of the community, and as people who are knit into the organization has really steered the direction, and I think been really valuable. So I think because that's always been part of Duke, then it's helped us to center ourselves around the experiences of Indigenous women, racialized women, and Indigenous women in particular, who are so much higher at risk for violence and trauma, not just, you know, on personal and intrapersonal levels, but societally and structurally. I think we constantly try to take an approach that centers their experiences. So I think part of it is kind of in the history and the advocacy work that the organization has played a part in the neighborhood. But yeah, it's part of our mandate to constantly be, attuned to and aware of the various isms, I guess, that any organization, a person, or place can kind of fall victim to. So constantly unlearning racism and sexism and prioritizing the experiences, again, of Indigenous women and other racialized women. We were also, a lot of women who come to Duke are sex worker women, so working to create more safe places for them is part of our organization as well. So I guess in our mandate and in our kind of history and staffing and people who are very involved from the organization's near beginnings, as well, we have a group at the center called Power of Women, and it is a kind of, I guess, social justice related collective or group, and they do a lot of work a lot of work around praxis, so not only taking part in activist work in the community and speaking up as women of the Dungeness side, but also having speakers and learning and engaging with some of these ideas. So that's also something that's run at the center. Let me think if I have any other thoughts. Yeah, well, I guess like an obvious one is that it's very important to our organization to be inclusive of transgender women. And particularly on the downtown east side, I think it's important because there's still such a lack of safe spaces for women. And in this area where they're, it's kind of infamous, I guess, in Vancouver, but also even beyond the city, where marginalization can compound itself, it's essential to be able to provide safe space for transgender women. And so, yeah, we work hard to combat transphobia within our own community as well as on larger levels.
Fantastic. And so the downtown east side intersects a lot with the Chinese community here, mm-hmm. with Chinatown. What sorts of initiatives do you guys do relating to that with Chinese seniors and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. So we have about 100 Chinese seniors who come to the center every day, so they're a sizable part of the membership here. The work around the Chinese seniors grew out of the, realizing and seeing the needs of a lot of Chinese seniors, or popos as they're called, when they're becoming increasingly isolated, and a lot of them do not speak English, so they constantly face not only racism, but a language barrier, which I guess is technically part of racism as well, and a lot of service provision. And as well as Chinatown gentrifies, there's been a lot of housing instability, and the community that a lot of the popos are familiar with is becoming unfamiliar to them, and is becoming a place where, you know, their constants are being threatened. And so that is, that can be really dangerous and unstable for women who are quite vulnerable. So we have a Chinese seniors outreach worker, and she works with the needs of various popos in the area, whether that's helping them make appointments or access services, or just kind of connect with one another, which is also kind of what the center space functions as, a safe social space. And just kind of catching up with them and staying attuned to their needs. So she's a really much needed resource at the center.
Fantastic. And so finally, where can people go to find out more information about the center and how to get involved in helping it spread awareness or volunteering or whatnot?
So they can go to our website. So it's www.dewc.ca. We also are on social media, so you could check out our Facebook, which is Downtown East Women's Center, or our Twitter, which is Duke Vancouver, and our Instagram, which is also Duke Vancouver. There's so many ways to get involved and be a support. You don't have to be someone who is able to financially give, although that is always welcome. But even being willing to jump in with events or volunteer or just to be part of someone who's kind of on call to be available is can be a huge help. So, yeah, you can reach out and contact us, and we can connect you to something.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Save the date for Pivots and Spins, Access Gallery's annual auction fundraiser on November 18th at 7 p.m. Promising to be Access's most exciting auction yet, Pivots and Spins features spectacular work generously donated by over 50 local and international artists, including Eli Bornowski, Daria Ake, Cindy Machizuki, Kathleen Ritter, and Sandra Semchuk. Complete with handcrafted cocktails, organic BC wines from Summerhill Pyramid Winery, Pilsner from Steam Whistle Brewery, works expertly framed by Fine Art Framing, and music organized by CITR 101.9 FM. Check out www.accessauction.tumblr.com for more details about contributing artists, the silent auction, and live auction works.
9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host Doran for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
And fading out in the background there, that was a new one from Neo Tonomi. That's Placid featuring Amy S. And that dropped on SoundCloud 21 days ago. Great track there. Another one curated by collective member Sinclair. So thanks, Sinclair. I've been enjoying the beats here in the booth. And before that, we heard my interview with Celine Chuang from the Downtown Eastside Women's Center talking about their upcoming Herstory in Focus fundraiser, as well as all the other cool programming and initiatives available at the center. I encourage all y'all out there in Radioland to go check them out. Their website's really easy. It's duke.ca, D-E-W-C. Their center is located at Columbia Street. It's about a block north of East Hastings, down in the downtown east side. And even just pop in and see what they're all about there. It's a very, very cool initiative going on there. And they're always looking for volunteers or donations. So help out your community organizations there. You're tuned into Intersections, CITR 101.9 FM's Gender Empowerment Collective run intersectional feminist radio show. That's a lot of words, but they are all good words if you ask me. My name is Mel Woods, hanging out with you for this hour all by myself in the booth this week, but rest assured next week we will have some great collective members in here with me. Here on the show, we talk about all the cool intersectional feminist current affairs happening here in Van City. A big part of that is events and things that are coming up. And I know Halloween is happening, so I figured it might be a good chance to talk about some of the cool things that are happening this weekend regarding Halloween, regarding staying safe on Halloween, and all of that. The big one that always comes up every Halloween that we always talk about, I think, when we come talking about intersectional feminism and gender and all of that, is your annual screenings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is really important in the LGBTQ plus community. I know it is a controversial thing, and it's by far not perfect. It is not perfect in its portrayal of gender, trans issues, and drag and whatnot. But it has, you know, coming out when it did, it's kind of acted as this cult rallying cry for the queer community in a lot of ways. I know a lot of my queer friends always go out to the screenings whenever they're happening. Back when I was living in Calgary last summer, Pride put on a screening of it, and it seems to be an important thing in communities, both queer and not, and always comes up around Halloween. And so the Rio Theater, which is great, is down on Broadway and Commercial, is doing just a ton of screenings about it. Screenings of it this weekend, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, and on Tuesday, on Halloween itself. And so these are the screens. Like, if you've never been to a Rocky Horror Picture Show screening before, highly recommend doing your research ahead of time. There are water guns involved. At one point, you throw toast at the screen. People dress up. It's quite an event, and it's a really fun thing to engage with. And local theaters like the Rio across the world do these screenings every Halloween. It's a really good chance to go and engage with these cool communities. Usually pretty gender diverse folks come out. It's a chance to see a lot of folks dressed up as Tim Curry's Dr. Frankenfurter, which is always fun, and all the various shenanigans along with that. So that is my first Halloween pick of events for you to check out. Next up, another big one talking about Halloween again is The Craft. Now, feminism and witchcraft have a very complicated relationship. You can talk about how modern feminists' attachment towards witchcraft can be seen as appropriative of a lot, especially in terms of different religions and cultural groups and whatnot. But if you want to watch a corny, amazing, honestly a fantastic 90s movie about a bunch of misfit girls who band together to form a unique coven of their own and get into witchcraft, and it's spooky and scary and tons of fun, go check it out. So that's screening at the Rio on October 31st at 6:20, which is a reasonable time if you ask me. All these midnight events and screenings are always just too late. I'm an old person. I like to stay in. Other big things coming up this weekend that not so Halloween related, but still good to check out. Tonight, Stormcrow Alehouse is doing their Quests and Queers and LGBTQA2+ game night. They do that on the last Thursday of every month, I believe. Stormcrow Alehouse is located on Commercial Drive. I think it's at like Commercial a few blocks from Commercial and First. And that is a great place. Go play some cool board games with a great group of LGBTQ plus folks. It's a great chance to meet people. I've been meaning to go out to one. I might actually head out to the one tonight. We will see. Maybe you will see me out there, Radioland. And maybe you will give me the honor of defeating you at Settlers of Catan. We'll have to see. But those are really great events. And try and check those out. I think community events are a really good way to get and meet the community. If you're new to the queer community here in Vancouver, events like these are a really great way to get your foot in the door and meet some really cool people. Other events, now we're going towards the more serious end of the things. The Heart of the City Festival and the Downtown Eastside Center for the Arts are putting on the inaugural event of Visible Colors. So this is a celebration of diversity of women in Vancouver and the art that they create. And so this first event is happening on Sunday from 12 p.m. till 1:30 p.m. And it's a talk with Jermaine Trammell, who is a lawyer and activist and a renowned keeper of traditional and cultural practices and one of the grandmothers who started Standing Rock. So she'll share a perspective on women's cultural identity and why it is an important time for women around the world. That's a really cool talk. It is happening at SFU Woodwards, so that's 149 West Hastings Street at the World Arts Center. Go check it out. I also may be making my way down to that one. It looks to be a really cool talk. And it's free, which is my favorite price for all events. So go check that one out. And last but not least, October 29th as well. After you're done your talk, head on down to the October 29th Community Kitchen, hosted by the Community Kitchen for Trans and Gender Diverse People. So this is a regular event where you get to join in a warm kitchen, cooking with friends, and sharing a hot meal. It'll be delightful. It is in the BYRC building. You bring some food. You take some food home with you. Meet a lot of other cool trans and gender diverse folks. And hopefully, yeah, just learn a thing or two as you go and eat some warm food. It's definitely crock pot season, everybody. So Community Kitchen is a great excuse to break out the crock pot. So yeah, those are some of my event picks for the weekend. Go check them out and really just go scroll through Facebook events. You'll see a whole bunch of really great things that are happening around Van City this weekend. Next up, we're going to hear another tune and then I'll come on back to you with some news. The track that we're going to hear next, it's called Daydream. It's from Rook and Nomi off of the 2-single album, Daydream and Goodbye Horses. They're out of Oakland, California. This new album just dropped at the end of September. It's a gooder. It's another of Sinclair's picks. So we're going to listen to that right now here on Intersections.
And ABC Theater and Film presents a world premiere shining with love and possibility. Wives and Daughters by Jacqueline Firkins, based on Elizabeth Gaskell's Victorian serial novel, is a charming romp of love convoluted by hidden desires and expectations.
I like to be liked, but when people carry their affection too far, they become troublesome.
Cynthia's a sweet girl and charming, but she was always in some spot of trouble. She wasn't mischievous exactly, but mischief seemed to follow her.
Join us from November 9th to 25th at the Frederick Wood Theater.
After a certain age, a daughter becomes inconvenient.
So we must stop being inconvenient daughters and become inconvenient wives?
Theaterfilm.ubc.ca.
Have you heard of Discorder?
Yes.
That salty magazine from CITR 101.9 FM?
Yes.
Pick up your copy of this month's issue at Red Cat Records, Budgie's Burritos, the VPL, or at any of our other 132 distribution locations. This issue features Aura Kogan, Holy Hum, Van City Queens, Good Night Out, and Sawdust Collector, plus reviews of local artists, shows, and other creative endeavors. All in one Salty App publication.
Yes!
Yas, yas, yas.
We'll be right back.
And fading out in the background there, that was local artist Morning Coo with Burn One for the Saints off of her 2015 album Baby Blue. Before that, we heard from Peeling. The track was Rattlesnake off of the new album 7 Years of Blood. And kicking off the set, Rook and Nomi's Partnership, that song was Daydream, and that was off of their 2-track album Daydream and Goodbye Horses. You're tuned into Intersections, CITR 101.9 FM's Gender Empowerment Collective radio show. So many words to say, I almost forgot a few of them. My name is Mel Woods, hanging out with you for this beautiful hour, as I do along with the Gender Empowerment Collective every Thursday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, over the airwaves at CITR 101.9 FM and online anywhere in the world, wherever you may be, at CITR.ca. And friendly reminder, if you're just tuning in now and you missed the first half of the program, no fear. We podcast things because the world is amazing. Technology is even better. So feel free to head on to CITR.ca, download the full episode. I thought it was a pretty great one. We had a great chat with Celine Twang from the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. A little bit of talk about some Halloween and weekend intersectional feminist events. And yeah, it was a fun time hanging out with all of you in Radioland. Next week, I'll be joined by more members of the collective. But this week, you just got me and also some great tunes. A friendly reminder that all of our music today was curated by volunteer Sinclair. So thank you for that, Sinclair. I appreciate you and I appreciate your good taste. I found some great new artists here today that I will probably be playing on my music show at some point in the near future. Do any of you out there in Radioland want to contribute to the Gender Empowerment Collective? You can. Anybody, whether you're a UBC student or not, can become a member of CITR and come make radio with us. The Gender Empowerment Collective meets every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the CITR offices. Whether you're a member or not, feel free to pop on by, say hello, learn a little bit about the collective, and learn how you can start making some really cool radio. We have a few really great things coming down the pipes in the next couple weeks for you guys out there. Super excited. Got some great interviews lined up, some events we're going to be heading to, and as always, that solidarity and empowerment you get from the Gender Empowerment Collective. Our time is almost up together, though, Radioland, and that makes me very sad, but no fear at all. CITR's new news collective program is coming up right after this. That's Democracy Watch. I can see the news collective out the window of the studio right now, hard at work prepping their show. They'll be on the airwaves after I leave all of you, so stay tuned for that. It sounds to be hard-hitting and all the good stuff the news should be. But before we go, I'm going to leave you with one more track from Sinclair's playlist. This is from a great London, UK artist, Kaleidoscope. The track is called Confession off of the album Time, which just dropped this September 22nd. So go check that one out on Bandcamp. Kaleidoscope is spelled out with a hyphen between every letter. Just Google Kaleidoscope Bandcamp and you'll probably find your way there. So yeah, this has been Intersections, CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective radio show. My name is Mel Woods, and we will see you back next week at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Halloween. Thank you.
from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's that?